The White House gets serious about security, ChatGPT wants to sell you a timeshare, and companies can't stop, won't stop with open source. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch. This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information. Good morning and welcome to the March 7th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Today is number, I believe, 98 episode number 98. Am I correct?
98. We're this close to being centennial. Actually, that's not true because it would be 100 years, but 100 episodes anyway.
Yes.
You know, Tony, I know about your lovely wife. I know about your lovely kids. I don't think I've ever asked you, do you have any dogs or pets?
I do. I have two dogs.
And what size dogs are these?
Ooh, Australian cattle dog, and she is probably 40 pounds, 41 pounds.
Okay.
And then the pit bull is a good 70.
Okay. Okay. So decent extra medium sized dogs, as Matt says in the green room. So I would guess that like when you went and bought these dogs or you rescued these dogs or knowing you, you went to like the top of a Himalayan mountain and saved them off the top of the mountain or something. But like when you got these dogs, they were about what you guessed they would be, right? I mean, a pit bull is a pit bull. A pit bull doesn't get confused for other breeds, right?
Both dogs are rescued. Yep. They came out. They started off as what they ended up as.
So, you know, for the security people screaming in the audience already, ask him his mother's maiden name. Ask him what street he grows up. That's not where I'm going with this. That's really not. So the reason I bring this up is because I found this story where a family in China raised this dog. They got this dog. They thought it was a Tibetan Mastiff in 2016. And Mastiffs, I mean, they're big ass dogs to begin with. I love them. They're phenomenal. Says the guy with the 4.5 pound Yorkie. Turns out this puppy that would eat nonstop, including stuff like boxes of fruits, two buckets of noodles daily. After 2 years, he got to 250 pounds. Turns out the dog was a bear. Yeah. I did not see any mention in the story of a picnic basket or if he was smarter than the average bear. But this stuff happens, right? Like Yorkies, my daughter's boyfriend, their family got what they thought was a Yorkie, turned out to be a big ass dog. He grew up to be a, you know, versus regular, but I think this takes the cake.
Is that a bait and switch? Like, how do you classify that? That's a oopsie. I mean, I just so you understand, I have heard of people getting the, hey, we got the little, like, was it a potbelly pig, the little one? And then it turned into like a 600 pound and you're like, oh, okay. Still awesome.
It's cool because they adopted it and it's cool because they identified it as, actually a threatened species. It's the Asiatic black bear, which as you go into bears, black bears more friendly than brown or white bears, right? Grizzlies will tear you up. Polar bears will make you they'll unalive you quick. So, you know, at the end of the day, who knows? Maybe it was a good
during bear. The winter, though. I want to know during the winter, like, this dog sleeps a lot. Literally, he's been asleep for like three weeks straight.
Right? It's like he's hibernating almost. And with that, I think we should probably just get into the news.
Let's get into the news.
In my top story on security, Biden's cybersecurity strategy calls for software liability, tighter critical infrastructure security, written by Jai Vijayan for Dark Reading. The Biden-Harris administration announced a new cybersecurity strategy that aims to improve the security and resilience of America's digital ecosystem. Some key initiatives of the strategy include using incentives such as tax structures and grants to encourage better security behavior, establishing minimum cybersecurity requirements for all critical infrastructure operators based on existing standards and guidance, shifting liability for insecure software and services to the vendors and away from the end users, strengthening the ability of federal and private sector entities to dismantle threat actor operations and infrastructure, working with Congress to pass legislation that supports the strategy's objectives. When fully implemented, the strategy will strengthen the ability of the federal and private sector entities to disrupt and dismantle threat actor operations and require all entities that handle data on individuals to better protect that data. So, Tony, one of the things I like about this, there's a lot of key points to take away from here, but moving the liability for insecure software away from the end user and onto the vendor. That seems like an obvious one, right? If I screw up, I'm to blame, not you. But sadly, that's not the way it works so far, right? If the client software gets compromised or the client's network gets compromised, typically it's their insurance paying out, not the vendor. I could see pros and cons of this. Where do you weigh in on this one?
This is a great conversation, and I don't see an end to it anytime soon. And here's the reason why. I've gotten into this conversation with some pretty large, we'll call them chief in-house counsels, organizations, to find out the exact answer to that exact question. And let me throw out some scenarios for you. There are platforms that are out there right now. There are applications. And if there's an error with the application, the question is, and we'll use the, I try not to throw anyone under the bus here. We'll use the concept of an application that is created by a large provider in the MSP community, and it's consumed by the reseller, which is then passed down to the end customer. And if there's an error in that particular software environment transaction, there's a monetary value concern. Who's liable for that? Okay. And that monetary value is translated, of course, to security. What are the end effects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But who's liable for that? Is it the MSP because the customer was affected? Can the MSP pass that up to the provider themselves? What if that provider used an outsourced development team to create that? Are they the ones that are liable for that? What if the outsourced development team in turn contracted individuals? Are those individuals responsible for that? Or is it the manager that put the stamp of approval on that? So where does that liability lie? We're talking all the way from the customer to the MSP to, let's say, the known entity to the outsourced development team, all the way to the individual developer themselves. Or is it going back up the stream and we're talking about the manager, the supervisor who said, okay, is it the QA team that said, yes, this is okay? I don't understand the answer to that question yet. And I think as we're pushing it away from the end customer, which I definitely appreciate, I don't think we have an answer to where the end true destination is going to be. What are your thoughts on that? Am I going too far?
I mean, as a manager, I say never blame the manager. No, you know, I think you missed a step, Tony. I think you went too far, way too far with the manager thing. I think it's a step down to that outsourced developer that was using clothing that was itchy and forced them to hit the wrong key when entering the lines of code. We need to go to that textile manufacturer that made the itchy clothing. And White House, you're welcome. We solved this problem. No, and that's really the problem, right? Like, it's finding the center. Where is the balance? I would like to think, generally speaking, if one of my employees does something wrong in the United States, obviously we have global audience, but in the United States, generally speaking, if my employees do something wrong, the employer is liable. As long as the employee wasn't doing anything criminally negligent or grossly negligent, and I'm not an attorney, but as long as the employee wasn't going completely off script from company guidelines, the company's at fault, right? If something happens, whatchamacallit. So, you know, I do think that if a company uses an outsourced software vendor, but they're selling the product, the company that's selling the product should be ultimately responsible, right? They're putting it out as their product. I would like to see MSPs backed up because, yes, they're choosing the software, but they're not designing the software. They don't know about this stuff. I don't know, MSPs, tell us what you think. Tell us, you know, are we off base? Should we go even farther, the manager's manager, and go to his third grade teacher? Or, you know, too bad for the end user, suck it up. let us know. In the meantime, Tony, you got some investment advice for me?
I have tons of investment advice. And by that, I mean, you can go to ChatGPT and get that advice, but please don't do that. Scammers are starting to exploit interest using ChatGPT in sophisticated investment scams. Straight from SiliconANGLE.com, ChatGPT is everywhere, and even for the scammers. A new report from researchers at Bitdefender today shines some light on the rise of a highly sophisticated investment scam and how they're trying to use excitement around ChatGPT to suck in potential victims. Upon accessing a link via a phishing email, users are directed to a copycat version of ChatGPT, luring them with a financial opportunity that pays up to $10,000 per month, quote, on the unique ChatGPT platform. The fake platform's chatbot begins with a short introduction to its role in analyzing financial markets that can now allow anyone to become a successful investor in global stocks. After the fake ChatGPT takes a series of financial questions such as current income, etc., the bot claims that a researcher will make an estimated $420 a day or more before asking further details to, quote, create a personal assistant. After this, it's followed with someone being contacted from their company to contact the researcher to provide more information over the phone, making money by investing in crypto, oil, and international stock. Ray, is this just phishing scam 101, or are they starting to really take in anything that's of true interest and exploit that to a level that no one should really be interested in anything? I don't know. How do we classify this?
This kills me because, like, it used to be you could easily spot the scam emails and stuff because the grammar was so horrendous. The sentence structure, the misspellings, random capitalizations, none of the mistakes that ChatGPT makes. So on one side, it's very cool. It's very cool that you have progress on the quality of the scam, but it's really bad on the other side for the people that get affected by this, because it seems more and more real, right? That's the whole point. It becomes so difficult to determine, is this real or fake? And ChatGPT is really good at conversational English. That's the one thing I've seen. You can sit there and have a conversation with it, and it understands previous and previous reference. It understands inflection, tone. It gets all these things really well, better than any outside the US scammer ever could hope to do with the English language. And honestly, better than some native English speakers do with written English, you know, maybe us, maybe not. So it's pretty crazy.
Do you think this is in Excel, Microsoft Excel, which we've all used? You have circular causation, and there's an error, and it stops you. But this is circular causation by definition, because what we have is we have scammers that are looking to contact you. Stay away from them. But there's something called ChatGPT or some new shiny object which we're attracted to. Scammers use your interest in that to associate a contact. The contact is made, and then which is facilitated into a scam, which goes back to, oh no, we have this horrible, let's get away from this, which goes back into, now the scammer's looking to some new shiny object, and you're continually rinse and repeat. I don't know if there's a way to break this cycle. I feel like if there's ever going to be an interest in something, scammers or the bad guys will be there to exploit it. Is it just sheer education at this point? Is it just common sense? Is that ever going to be possible at the scale that we need it to be?
I don't know. And that's the scary part, right? Because it's our jobs as technologists, it's our job in the managed service community to educate our users on, you know, because we can't be sitting there over their shoulder. You know, it's hard enough that we have to sit there and document all their passwords in an Excel sheet, make sure that I'm kidding. Don't do that. Please don't do that. That was a real Reddit thread I was talking on today, where they were doing that stuff for a host of really bad reasons. We'll maybe discuss that on a new and upcoming show, RMSP Live. Shh, secrets. But seriously, like, we have to educate our clients on our end users on how to do this and our own internal organizations. And part of that is don't go after the bright and shiny. Don't go after it's cool. Look, I get it. One of our Discords this morning, people were talking about Scribe versus some other tool to make like step-by-step instructions. And there's a Chrome extension. Our good friend Kyle Christensen from K7 Leadership, he uses Fireflies to do automatic transcription and garner the sentiment or the key points of whatever conversation's happening. And I want to just install all of it. But you know,
all of it, you need time, every plugin,
but you need time to vet that stuff and you need qualified professionals to vet that stuff. So maybe the training is, if you're interested in something, make the MSP more available to have that conversation with the user about best use case, appropriate use, and let them vet it. Even if it takes an extra day or two, big deal. But if it protects you from the next big phishing attempt, why not?
It's not unconventional wisdom, but I would say that installing all of it, not advised. But if it's all open source, it's all safe, right?
Tony, that's what I'm told. I'm told that, you know, everybody's using open source software. Actually, that's the topic of our third top story in the business section. Companies can't stop using open source, written by Matt Assay for InfoWorld. A new report from the Linux Foundation on the economic value of open source finds that convenience, not cost, is the primary driver of open source adoption. In an interview with Henry Chesborough, adjunct professor at UC Berkeley and author of the report, while cost is a perceived benefit of open source, not everyone finds it cheaper. However, even those who think open source is more expensive than alternatives say its benefits outweigh those costs. The primary advantage of open source is the availability and speed of development. Enterprises want the benefits of open source without the expense of managing it themselves. Additionally, more enterprises use and contribute to open source, the more likely they are to uncover the benefits and better manage the cost. As they become more experienced, they become more strategic and may go from mere users to co-creators of open source software. That's the real benefit, right, Tony, that when you have open source software and you may want to modify it to your own needs, that's far easier than doing a feature request with a closed source vendor. If you have the resources to do it, or maybe you can just, you know, go hire somebody to modify things. And depending on the license, sometimes you have to contribute back to it, sometimes not. But that's one of the major benefits of open source. I saw this thread actually on Reddit this past week, an MSP that wanted to focus only on open source software as part of their stack. And I thought that was interesting, but my final determination on it was clients don't care. If you want to become an MSP that consults on open source, because that's your niche, that's different. That's fantastic. But if you want to sit there and be an MSP that only uses open source software, I don't think there's actual value in there. I don't know. What's your take, Tony?
Open source. Everything has a cost. At the end of the day, let's be very blunt about, you know, you've got this massive, you know, Fibonacci sequence of complexity of all the things you're going to deploy. You're trying to figure out what is the causation from doing X and Y? Did it cause Z, or am I going to continue, you know, forward in without any obstruction? And a lot of people are left with genuine disdain by not predicting those problems before they occur. It becomes so predictable when you can buy a prepackaged, pre-made, commercially available software, because you know you're acquiring the backing of that entity to continue the quality assessment, the quality assurance, the security measures that are in there. All of that is removed when you go to an open source environment. And it is terrifying to people unless you've actually done the research. And doing the research, which takes, you know, there's quite a bit of due diligence and what's it called? Reading. It's a lot of reading. When you have that done, it is fascinating how far open source software has come in general and how fast it's accelerating. I would love to continue this conversation with the MSP community to find out what their take is on open source, because there's so many, even like, and I'm completely blanking on the new name, Nagios. They went to,
let me ask you, Tony, if the MSPs wanted to have this conversation with us, where could they do that?
It would be cool. Do we have like a Discord server or something, or MySpace? Ooh. MySpace is MySpace.
if you sign up for MSP Dispatch MySpace, Tony and I will be your top seven friends. So, because you can't take away Tom. Tom has to be there. No, go hit up our Discord. Hit us in the comments. Leave us a voicemail. 833 MSP Network. Doesn't get easier than that. And sometimes you'll get a free pizza. Don't hold me to that. I don't know. And notice we're saying open source, not free open source, right? Because open source doesn't mean free. There's tons of open source that you pay for.
Common misconception. Well said.
Yeah. And to me, it has to be about getting the best value from the software, not if it's open source or it's closed source. It's, can I trust it? Now, one thing toward that vein of trust, though, open source gives you the ability to evaluate the code. Open source gives you the ability to look at the dependencies. Remember, we've talked about software bill of materials. We've talked about SBOMs before. We've talked about dependencies. We've talked about supply chain attacks. Well, if it's open source and you can see all of that, now there's more transparency to it, if you understand it, but there's more transparency to it that you could better, I'm not going to say protect yourselves, but you could have an increased awareness of where your risk factors lie. And I think there is value there, that transparency that closed source vendors are going to have to catch up on. I don't know. MSPs, let us know. Please let us know. And for now, let's do some notables.
And my first notable, straight from bleepingcomputer.com, Biden Cash Market leaks over 2 million stolen credit cards for free. A carding marketplace known as Biden Cash has leaked online a free database of 2,165,700 debit and credit cards in celebration of its first anniversary. Rather than keeping it under wraps, the threat actors advertised this massive leak on an underground cybercrime forum for more extensive reach to attract as much attention as possible. The presence of email addresses and full information, commonly referred to as FULLs with a Z by cyber criminals, will make the victims of this leak vulnerable to other attacks such as phishing, identity theft, and scams long past the expiration of their credit card details. Be safe, everyone. And in my next notable mention, from bleepingcomputer.com, new TPM 2.0 flaws could let hackers steal cryptographic keys. TPM is a hardware-based technology that provides operating systems with a tamper-resistant, secure cryptographic function. It can be used to store cryptographic keys, passwords, and other critical data, making any vulnerability in its implementation a cause for concern. The TPM 2.0 specification gained popularity and controversy when Microsoft made it a requirement for running Windows 11 due to its required boot security measures and ensuring that Windows Hello face recognition provided reliable authentication. The new vulnerabilities in TPM 2.0 were discovered by Quark Labs researcher Francisco Falcon and Ivan Arce, who said the flaws could impact billions of devices. The vulnerabilities are tracked as CVE-2023-1017 and CVE-2023-1018. Users are recommended to limit physical access to their devices to only trusted users and only use signed applications from reputable vendors and apply firmware updates as soon as they become available for their devices. Stay up to date, everyone.
My first notable mention, Microsoft releases Windows security updates for Intel CPU flaws, written by Lawrence Abrams for Bleeping Computer. Microsoft has released an out-of-band security update to address memory-mapped input-output vulnerabilities in Intel CPUs that could lead to information disclosure. These vulnerabilities, disclosed by Intel in June 2022, could allow processes running in a virtual machine to access data from another virtual machine, compromising shared resource environments such as cloud service configurations. Microsoft released updates for Windows 10, Windows 11, and Windows Server to address these vulnerabilities. However, it is unclear if these updates contain new Intel microcodes or other mitigations. The updates are currently available as manual updates in the Microsoft Update Catalog. In my second notable mention, Java 21 set to include sequence collections and string templates, written by Paul Krill for InfoWorld. Oracle's Java Development Kit 21, due in September, as the next long-term support release, is set to include sequence collections and string templates. Sequence collections introduce interfaces to represent collections with a defined counter order, which Java's collection frameworks lack, while string templates will allow developers to easily express strings that include values computed at runtime. An LTS release, JDK 21, will receive 5 years of premier support and extended support until September 2031. Other possible features for JDK 21 include scope values, record patterns, virtual threads, universal generics, and the asynchronous stack trace VM API. And our resource of the week, What's New in Microsoft 365, February 2023 edition, written by MSP for MSPs for T-365. Here are some of the Microsoft updates from February 2023. Ultrasound howling detection in Teams meetings. This notifies a user that several people have already joined the meeting and that the mic and speaker will be turned off to prevent echo. Also, suggested files in one-to-one chats. This feature will help save time in sending files in chat with a share file suggestion. Also included, busy on busy end user setting. For more of the latest updates, visit the link in the show notes below.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. March 8th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Build It Better MSP Discussion Group presented by Everything MSP. On March 8th through the 9th, an in-person event, Channel Pro SMB Forum in Washington, D.C. And also on March 8th, another in-person event, NextGen MSP Local, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, 38 to 38, Episode 10 with Matthew F. Fox. On March 8th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Technical Deficit, Episode 7, Solving the Top 5 Cyberdrain SysAdmin CTF Challenges with Kelvin Tiklar. And of course, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's episode? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Mankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-NETWORK. Tony, favorite story. Is it the open source or is it the 250-pound dog?
The bear dog is awesome. The bear dog is the best. But all I can hear right now is tick, 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 tick. Episode number 98. Episode number 100 is coming soon. Tick, 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 tick. That's
dude,
all
I hear. Dying to get to that 100. Dying to get to that 100.
In between that, though, I hear dog, bear, dog, bear. Man, I'm going to go check my dogs right now. I'm going to go, open your mouth. Let me see your little.
All right. Exactly. So, Tony, we've done this. And those of you that don't get the joy and magic that is the green room before we actually start recording, never see this. But Tony will regularly bring up something and then I will reach back and bring it out. no. And today is no different. I have on my arm four bears and a dog.
How do you, that doesn't even, that's a magic trick. That's like, that's a card. It's like, here's the card. No, it's the card that you chose. What? Here's the tattoo. What the tattoo is on. I'm going to check. How do I have a tramp stamp that says Ray? It doesn't even make any sense.
Well, that was from New Orleans. All right. So I think I can't end the episode any better than that. Take care, everybody. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Have you always had a blue screen, Tony, or is it new?
I totally forgot. It is not, it's always been there. Oh, hold on.
I just for some reason thought you had a green screen all this time, but
yeah. This is where Tony shows you I'm not the only one that buys too many toys.
I am so jealous. You know, Tony, you showed us that before, and I tried to find one, and I could not. But I do have the manual version.
It's amazing. Like, Ray knew exactly where I was going.
When your kids get older, you just like pretend you push a button and have one of the kids drop it down.
I love that. They got to get a little taller before I can put them to work like that.
The primary advantage of open source is the availability and speed of deployment. Whoops, not deployment, development. Sorry.
Jumping straight into my first notable. I should probably have asked Simon. Sorry.
You're good.
Oh, well, I was going to start getting my fleek on. Hold on. Are we good?
All set for number one.
And another story from bleepingcomputer.com. My next notable is about the new TPM 2.0 flaws that could let hackers steal cryptographic keys. Can you cut the little thing out there? Can I go from the top again? I'm so sorry. I don't know if you could hear my stomach growling there. It's time to eat. Next one. Here we go.
Ultrasound howling detection in Teams meetings. This enables a user that has several people that have already joined the meeting and have